This Fifi Dave Bevan Byron catch-up is free from import duty and GST. And so is the range of imported goods like perfume and alcohol available when you shop duty-free at Melbourne Airport.
Hey guys, the original Bachelor, Tim Robards, who picked his bachelorette on that television show, the very first Australian Bachelor, Anna Heinrich, got engaged finally, 4 years after they hooked up on The Bachelor, Fev.
That's amazing.
Well, it is amazing. Look, it's really good for, and congratulations to Tim and Anna. Interesting timing, though. Do you think that, like, only a week ago, Sam, the most recent Bachelor, announced his pregnancy with his bachelorette? And do you reckon Anna's gone, honey, I mean, they're having a baby and they're like 4 seasons after us.
Oh.
Like,
I mean,
no.
I don't know. That might be a bit cynical, but probably true.
No, I'm good on them. That's great. I love that. Well done. Love is wonderful and congratulations to them. This though, and I don't.
You say. What? The way you say it.
Really?
You just care factor zero.
No, I don't. No, I do. I love love. So well done. Good on them. Why I'm speeding through it, Fev, is I've got to get to this story because this is all time. I read this this morning
Sounds
and went,
cool.
No way. Like, very rarely does your jaw drop. My jaw actually dropped. So there's a guy in Russia and he was proposing to his girlfriend. He had a stomach wound. Not sure why.
Oh,
no one's revealed. No, yeah,
I
yeah.
know where this is going.
He convinced the surgeon to put the engagement ring in his body, in the wound. This happened. This is only just broken today. And when she's a nurse, when she was changing his dressing, there's the ring in his wound. Oh my goodness! And if you there's a video attached to this.
Oh, we don't want to see it.
No, but it's
That's
gross.
Next level.
It is next level gross. And she's hugging him, and she loved it. So it's a big news story over there in Russia. Not necessarily how I'd like to be proposed to. And proposal, having never been proposed to, I don't have any great personal stories to attach to this.
Okay. Do you want me to tell my horrific proposal?
Well, I do.
After the break?
Well, no, can I tell this one quickly? No, my girlfriend.
What are you saying? You didn't have one.
So I was trying to jump in and help you.
No, I've got a friend. This was my friend. This is really funny because she has always, she'd been with her boyfriend for like nearly, I think, 8 years. Always wanted to get married, was always pushing him, when are you going to propose, when are you going to propose? Anyway, one morning, Sunday morning, they'd had a big night on Saturday, woke up, she's in her trackies, barely brushed her hair, and she's gone down to the pier at St Kilda, you know that, there's at Port Melbourne, there's a cafe
corner.
On the corner. They've gone their favourite place for breakfast every Sunday morning. They're sitting there, and he started to get a bit nervy, and he wanted a particular table, and then she saw flowers. And she actually looked at him and went, no, no. And she leapt up, like jumped out of her seat, ran out of the restaurant, cafe. No, because she just didn't want it to start. So she shut it down and then said to him, no, like when I've done my makeup and when I'm looking presentable so we can get
you
a good photo.
Right.
I find that amazing.
That's amazing.
She's controlled. She hated that. She said to him, why would you do it now when I'm in my tracksuit pants and I'm, you know, looking festy?
Surely you just got to let it happen. I mean, you can't control.
People hate their proposals and they may even want to share that with us. 131060, did you hate your proposal? And Fev's going to share his story after
this. It's not as good as that. I'll keep it in the vault.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
People don't always love, or girls, I mean, that sounds maybe a bit sexist. I imagine there are girls that propose to their boyfriends and they don't necessarily like that. Thorno, our mate, who's not here today, his partner, Nixie, tried to propose to him and he went, no, 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 that's not the way this is going to work.
Yeah.
A man in Russia has convinced a surgeon to hide a wedding ring, an engagement ring, in his wound, in his stomach, so that his girlfriend found it when she was changing the dressing. She loved it. I would not love that. Like, I don't know many people that would love that. And it's a shame when you don't like your proposal because it's sort of a seminal moment in your life.
So down the track, like well down the track with...
Julie from Hampton Park.
I was going to say in terms of... Hi, Stephen.
Where's Julie? Hi, Julie.
We want Julie. Okay, they're changing the order around on us. Here we go.
Hi, Julie. Are you there, Julie?
Yes, I am.
Oh, there you go. Julie, did you not like your proposal?
No, we went to lunch and he had his daughter with him and said, we need to get married before the footy season starts.
That Julie, should have been the last caller. I hope these other ones are good.
Bev would like that one.
Yeah, did you say yes, Julie?
Well, I loved him. Yes, I did.
Oh, that's great.
That's brilliant.
That's a ripper.
It's actually good.
Do you know, it's actually quite tough for a lot of women because, you know, a lot of women like a blokey bloke, But blokey blokes think like that. Yeah. So you got to love that.
Literally every wedding I go to, it's in October. Yeah. And all my mates and all the boys, all their anniversaries are October the 7th, 14th or 21st. Because footy season's September. And then for the first month, everyone stays back for weddings. And the second month, you go overseas.
Clever.
So everyone goes on the honeymoon. It's unbelievable.
Jenny from Monbog. Hi, Jen.
Good morning.
Good morning. Did you not like your proposal?
My family ruined my proposal 32 years ago.
What did they do?
Well, my boyfriend then took me out for dinner, and we got home and my whole family was sitting inside the lounge room with sunglasses on. And I said to them, what the hell are you doing? And they went, oh, that's, you know, we've got sunnies on for the glare of the diamond. And I've gone, what diamond?
No.
That's
no. What were they thinking?
Well, my little sister had cleaned out my husband's car that day and found something in the car.
But why would they blow it, Jenny?
I don't know.
That's just such a that's like the worst spoiler alert ever. That's like telling somebody what happens at the end of Game of Thrones.
32 years later, it still haunts Jenny.
As it would.
Well, it's actually our anniversary today.
Oh, happy anniversary!
Congratulations, Jenny.
Thank you.
Oh, that's lovely.
I'll have to watch a 3D movie at Village. The sunny's on.
It's all worked out really well. It wasn't an ideal start, but that's great.
Liz in Roeville. Hey, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, did you hate your proposal?
I sure did.
What did he do?
So I did my shift at the pet shop, did all the cleanups, all the feeds, changing, like, pretty much everything aside. Get out to the car park, and he's proposed to me. Covered in dog poo. I don't know whether to hit him or just to say, okay, so yeah. But
did he cuddle you with all the dog poo on you?
He did.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful moment.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Fev, Brendan Favola was on Neighbours last night, his acting debut. So I thought you'd enjoy this. Speaking of actors, Fev, the original Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill. You know how he was in The Force Awakens, the Star Wars movie, the most recent Star Wars movie. He's just revealed, and I've got a feel for him on this. In this film, he was in one scene.
Yep.
And
feel his pain.
He unfortunately, though, didn't realise that. And for 50 weeks, he slimmed down. He went on a diet.
I didn't do that.
For 50 weeks for one scene. You did one scene. And I remember, do you know what I'll never forget? If you missed it last night, so Fev was on Neighbours. Let's play it, in fact.
Sure.
I'll paint the picture. I'm playing the character of Brooke Butler, the Lasseter's Day Spa manager, and I've just given Brendan Favola a wax.
You and Dad are doing a really good job at this co-parenting thing.
Oh, I'm glad you think that. Because on that note, while you're here...
Did you really have to wax everything?
Well, think of how aerodynamic you'll be on the footy field. These footy players.
One of my favourite parts of that is, just to give you a peek behind the curtains. So, Fev, I remember in the morning, Sonda here was saying, now you're going to have to get to the Neighbours set for hair and makeup, obviously, and then a wardrobe fitting. Fev was on Neighbours wearing the same clothes he wore doing Breakfast Radio that morning.
I was.
You just wore your T-shirt and your shorts.
And I didn't trim down. A little bit of feedback from Twitter. Horrendous. and I also got a feedback about, obviously, you've put on the kegs, need to go back in the jungle.
Oh, people keep
saying
that.
So I didn't slim down. I didn't get much love, actually.
No. Well, you know what? Good thing. It's one of those things, unlike Mark Hamill, who worked for 50 weeks. Is that a year?
That's 2 weeks short of a year. Fee.
Two weeks short of a year.
He took a survey break in between.
Okay. He spent a year watching every calorie to end up in one scene. Fev, good thing that you didn't really do anything for one scene. Because you could have ended up... No, but that... And you know what reminds me of? And you know that even these days, I've a massive... When I was growing up and as a teenager, I'd always have that mentality of losing weight for things.
Right.
And there's nothing worse than that because you know, now I know that as an adult. Oh, what a terrible, terrible way to live your life. And now, no... Never do that. Never just do that crash dieting.
Yes. Someone did say I've got a great head for radio. on Twitter.
Correct.
Because I've put on a lot of weight. And then another person, Joe Avo, said, quite possibly the worst TV cameo ever. Whoops-a-daisy.
That's harsh.
Yeah. I got some harsh. Yeah, but
that's
come on,
harsh.
Guys.
It's not
I did
that
it for
bad.
Radio.
It
was
no,
justice.
It was fine. You're okay, Fev. You
whatever
come back.
Story Fev was in the middle of.
I realise that, Fev, you're still really taking this hard.
He's still and hurting. And
I mean, what did your family think of your neighbours?
We'll talk about that after 8.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
It was a big milestone year for women in the Australian Football League, and we all know the first female umpire took to the ground. Fair, big moment having a woman out there, female on the ground, umpiring a male game.
Yeah, it was amazing. I actually commentated this game. So when she walked out, she got the ball. She was in the middle. A lot of photography early on. She got the. She had a bit of pressure on her, and she did such an amazing job. You wouldn't have known any different. And it was a great landmark for AFL footy.
Yeah, Eleni Gluftis. And what's great too is even she's, as you said, the pressure of your first day, and not only your first day, knowing everyone's looking at you. She has come out and said, oh, she didn't think it was her best. But anyway, that's...
Well, when you're commentating and you don't commentate about the umpires, they've done a good job.
You're right.
And I literally didn't notice at all that they'd done anything wrong.
Right.
There was a couple of scuffles that she was involved in and I commentated. It's her first ever. There's a blue. And she was in there straight away telling people not to do it. And there was actually a goal review at one stage where Essendon had kicked a goal and they did a goal review. And the goal umpire was female and the umpire was female.
That's a great look.
So there was two girls standing there waiting for the and I said it in the box. I said, this is amazing. Like, this is how far footy's come.
Well, West Australian football president of the Tiger Sharks there, Dale Simmons, he's come out on a Facebook tirade and he has labelled poor Eleni a dopey mole. Yes. And a stupid B-I-T-C-H.
Who's he? Who are the Tiger Sharks? This guy's a nobody.
I think he obviously must be a West Coast supporter because he lives in Perth and they got hammered.
Well, what's interesting about this, and take all the wrongness out of that, because the truth is trolls are everywhere. Trolls are even presidents of football clubs. They're just people who go online and vent, and we all know don't give them any energy, any oxygen. And this happens. And the thing about Eleni in that job, and not just Eleni as the first female umpire, but male umpires, that is a job where you are going to be abused.
It is, unfortunately.
And as you sign up, and, you know, it's not the only job. And other people, if you think about it, if you're going to be a football umpire, yep, you're going to be called a lot of, people are going to be yelling at you over the, you know, the fence in the crowd. They're having a few drinks and you're the target of their, think about it, parking inspectors. When you sign up to be a parking inspector and I, you know what, I actually feel for parking inspectors. Mm-hmm. I knew you'd have that reaction. What a tough job because they've got to do it. They've got to give tickets. Yeah. That's what they're being told to do.
Because if you don't do your job, then you're popular, but you're not doing your job.
I know, it's a tough one. Like whenever I've seen the guy writing me a ticket as I walk up, I actually always just smile and go, yeah, I get it. Because I know I've seen people in stoushes and abusing them and, you know, get a life and what kind of person are you? But it's their job. Fev doesn't agree.
Yes, back to umpires. No, I'm probably the worst at abusing umpires because I get so frustrated because I always get held and I don't get any free kicks.
Yeah.
But Jordan Bannister, who was one of my ex-teammates, became an umpire. And he said that he got abused more as an umpire than he ever did as a player.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can understand
But
that.
Without umpires, we don't have a game.
You need it. But and do
so
you
we need them.
We absolutely need them.
Do we need
them.
Parking inspectors?
Yeah, well, yeah, we
no.
do.
Oh, it raises revenue for
raises revenue
different
for councils
and it keeps things going.
It raises a lot of money.
But it gives people jobs. Like, no, here's the thing. Whether you're an umpire, you're a parking inspector, there'd be other jobs. Cops. Cops would get abused. In 13, 10, 60,
be careful abusing cops.
Are you in a job where you handle abuse? You get
We'd
abused.
Love to hear.
Byron
I get abused every morning doing this job, for example. But 13, 10, 60, if you get abused doing your job.
Yeah, and I'm particular shout out to any parking inspectors out there. Call, because that's a tough, you would never get pats on the back. And you know what? Let's do that for you.
Good stuff.
This is a safe space. This is a safe space where you can vent.
Yes.
And you can say, yeah, you get, guess what? My job is tough and I get abused on a daily basis.
And if there's any parking inspectors on Clarendon Street, do not put a ticket on my Ford Festiva, please.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
It'd be a tough gig being a footy umpire. I'm saying that to Brendan Favola. But no, that it's tough being a footy player too. You get abused. Footy players get abused by people on the sidelines. Elaine Gluftis, the first female ground umpire, she has been abused on Facebook a lot. People calling her all sorts of names. A dopey mole. They're horrible. But then the shame is that's just the nature of the job. And this is in life. There are various professions where you're just having abuse hurled at you. And it's unfair because you could be a nice person. You could a lovely, nice person looking after your family, putting meals on the table. But guess what? You've got to put tickets on people's cars when they park illegally.
Which is a tough job. I know.
You love the ticket.
She really likes them. I think she's trying to get out of a fine.
No, I genuinely feel for parking inspectors. They can't win.
There's something going on here.
No, they can't win.
No, they can't.
No, because I imagine if that was my dad or my mum and that was their job and they just got abused by people all day. It's mean. It's just horrible.
The TV hosts last night before the soccer, they copped it on Twitter. I mean, they're just rocking up to do a bit of pre-game entertainment.
But they were horrific.
Well, they absolutely copped it, though. And so I reckon TV show hosts, radio hosts, parking inspectors, I mean, everyone cops it.
Well, it's warranted, though.
Katie from Hastings. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Fifi.
Katie, do you have a job where you just get abused every day?
Yeah, so I'm a property manager, so if a tenant doesn't pay, fault in the landlord's eyes, but if a landlord...
Oh, her phone's cutting out, but I reckon she has to collect rent from people who are overdue.
No wonder she's getting abused. She's talking to the person renting the house, and the phone keeps cutting out.
Thanks, Katie. We can imagine that would be tough.
Aaron in Rosanna. Hi, Aaron.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. You sound very happy, Aaron, for a guy that might be being abused on a daily basis.
I referee touch football and have done for probably the last 10, 15 years, but... I was refereeing a few years into just starting, and a gentleman went in for a hard touch and called him up. He didn't like it, marched him 10 metres up the field, didn't like that, called him over to me. He stood right in front of my face and spat straight into my face.
Whoa.
Oh, Aaron.
So he got a nice 6 years suspension.
Woo!
6 years? Wow.
Touch footy.
12 seasons, and then I went and got him for assault.
Whoa, there we go.
And you laugh.
And he's, well, a touch football, I suppose. You imagine the tribunal fair, but touch football.
What is touch footy?
Football.
So is it footy? Tackle?
It's based on rugby league, and instead of tackling, you touch them, and that's held.
What, touch them on the shoulder? Give them a tap?
No, when little kids play it, and they have, like, flags on them. They can pull the flags, but touch is like a... it's same sex, so female and males play together, and it's instead of being able to tackle them and pull them to the ground, they run around, they touch them on the back, and then you got to stop. It's actually really quick and fun. I played it up in Yarrawonga. It's actually really good fun.
You'd have trouble not touching people. Carly from...
What? That didn't sound right.
That didn't sound good at all.
No, what I meant is you'd want to tackle.
Yes.
You went up to a bloke, you're just going to tap him.
I'd put him into the turf.
There we go.
And rub his head in it.
Whoa, Carly from Hillside. Hi, Carly.
Hello, how are you going?
Good, Carly. Do you have a job where you're being abused?
I certainly do. I'm a traffic controller.
Ah, now when you say traffic controller, what is that?
So I basically control the traffic so it's all safe for everyone to drive through while they do road works and all the rest.
Oh, yes, you hold the signs.
I do.
Now, who would abuse you? I always give you a wave, Carly. What? Who's abusing you?
Everybody. You are trying to make the road safe, so when you're trying to stop somebody from doing, like, their everyday job, they get very frustrated.
Carly,
I always wave.
Is that the stop-go sign holder?
Yeah.
Carly, is it just me, and I'm glad we've got you, there are far more women being traffic controllers these days.
There is nowadays, yes. I think it's,
good pay, too.
It is.
It's really good
pay.
No, it is.
Lots of attractive women.
That's true.
I've noticed.
I've got a mate who does that, and he reckons he stands there with the sign because they have like a walkie-talkie to let the other say, yeah, stop, and then the other side can come through. He watches Netflix on his phone.
Don't say that.
He's the best. What a good job. And gets paid a lot of money.
Carly would never do that.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
No, of course
definitely not.
No,
definitely not.
Carly's like, oh, geez, that's me.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron. Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron took a call from Bev from Melton.
I have a six-year-old son. His name's Logan. He has spina bifida. Had birthday parties where we've invited classes and kinders and no one's come along.
For his next birthday, Fifi, Dave, Bev and Byron are putting on a party for him.
Let's put on a party for kids that do get left out.
Logan's seventh birthday party.
That's right, the countdown's on next Wednesday. Margaret Court Arena. Logan's going to have the party of a lifetime. We've had so many people who really this story resonated with, and we heard from the Carlton Football Club. Those boys, Bryce Gibbs called through yesterday, want to get involved. Luckman Catering, your
Benny
mate
Luckman,
Benny, he's
going to
be putting in. We've been so overwhelmed, and now we've got another special contributor. This is very exciting. Nick from Spotlight is on the line. Are you there, Nick?
Good morning.
Nick, thank you so much for contacting us. You've heard Logan's plight and how sad that is for a little boy to have never enjoyed a birthday party. Now, Nick, you would love to get involved in this party.
We absolutely would. You know, a few of us here heard Logan's story on our way into work, and it really resonated with a lot of us. And one of our team members actually came over to me and said, I really want to do something to get involved because my daughter went through something that was really similar when she was in school. And as a mum, she was just really concerned that, you know, her daughter wouldn't have a great time and wouldn't make friends and have awesome parties. And for me, as you know, a party obsessive kind of person working here at Spotlight, I was just like, you know what? We have to do this. We have to get involved and make this the coolest party we possibly can. So I'm really, really excited that we're coming on board to help decorate Logan's party.
Oh!
Which is going to be really, really cool.
Fife, you actually went to Spotlight for Trixie's birthday party.
Nick, do you know what? Because I didn't even know this, but I've gone to Spotlight for materials and for crafts and making things, but you've got an incredible party area in department.
It's amazing. It's massive. We do balloons. We have inflation available in every store.
You've got everything
decorating.
To do with
Absolutely
cake,
everything.
With parties. So for you guys, for Spotlight to get on board and to decorate Margaret Court Arena for Logan's birthday
party.
It's an
arena. I mean, have you done the budget on this, Nick? It's an arena.
We're really lucky. We've got some fantastic suppliers who are contributing and donating time and a lot of balloons. Guys, there's a heck of a lot of balloons. So that's going to be amazing.
Well, Byron will help blow them up. He hasn't got much on.
Sure. Happy to help out however I can. No, wow. Awesome. Thank you, Spotlight. Thank you, Nick from Spotlight.
Yeah, that is really generous. Thank you, Nick and Spotlight. And actually, February's is a very good point. What are you doing, Byron?
Well, I'm here to help however possible, so you guys
can
decide.
We've got to task you up.
Yeah, please. I normally end up in a mascot costume at most of these things, so we'll
a mascot blowing up balloons.
Okay, anyway. Keep that support coming through. Fifi, Dave, Fev, Byron on Facebook. The big party Wednesday at Margaret Court Arena for Logan's birthday.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
Fev, can I please reveal a personal text message exchange between Byron Cook and myself last night? So Fev and I were pretty keen on getting people's feedback because Fev was on Neighbours last night, 6:30, Channel 11. There he was. He and I acting together. My role as Brooke Butler. He's as...
Me.
As Fev. Anyway, I get a text message from Byron which goes like this, Fev. I just watched the worst 15 minutes of television I have ever seen by far.
That's a bit harsh.
Fev, I was shocked. So I wrote back, Fev was only on for 3 seconds. So are you referring to my acting? Now, Byron, explain yourself.
Well, it was a private text. I would never normally publicly bag anyone in media because I've been on television and I'm horrendous, okay? But it was a private text to you.
Yes.
I was actually referring to the pre-game of the soccer on ABC2, which, not for the fault of the performers, who are all very good individually, for whatever reason, was a complete disaster. It was horrendous television.
Well, I didn't see this, but obviously, big match. Liverpool have come over. They're playing Sydney, and you had three comedians, and I don't even know whether their background is soccer. I don't know whether
Schiller knows plenty about soccer. The other two are very funny, but probably not so much.
Well, I think you're right. I think the three of them are great performers. It sounds to me like it was a car crash that wasn't even necessarily their fault. But I did go through the Twitter hashtags, and I hate doing that. But I was like, whoa, what have these poor guys done wrong? And I think the gist I'm getting, reading between the lines, because headline in the Herald Sun was worst intro to a sports coverage in history in Australia. And I thought, wow.
There were some budgetary constraints, I think, for the guys. And so they tried to play it off as, oh, this is a bit hokey and fun. But in reality, there must have been no budget because instead of having proper graphics, they were pointing at like whiteboards and stuff with like cardboard cutouts of the faces of the players.
It really took the gloss off Neighbours, didn't it?
Well, could it?
And not only did that take the gloss off, my family took the gloss off it for me. It was my big moment. We got home from soccer and footy training with the girls and we sat down and we're having dinner and I said, guys, Dad's on Neighbours. Let's watch. Lulu was watching a YouTube channel. Lenny was on her iPad. Mia had gone to her room and Alex was doing emails on the computer. And it was crickets. Not one word was said.
Bev, no one in your family watched you on Neighbours.
No one cared. And Lenny goes, oh, I've already watched it on YouTube. You weren't on long. You had one line. That's not the point. I'm on Neighbours tonight. And Alex didn't even raise an eyelid. And when we went to bed, we put a movie on. And as the movie was about to start, it was on Twitter. And I said, do you want to watch it on Twitter? And she goes, yeah, give me a look. And for a good 5 minutes, there was hysterical laughter, a bit of laughing. And she said, that was the worst thing I have ever seen.
Well, see, Fev, I would argue, I thought you did great. of course, I'm going to back you and I are Neighbours. But now let's have a listen because you and I missed it. But this is some of what happened on ABC2 last night.
Oh,
people
great.
Claiming this is possibly the worst coverage of a football game or a sports event in history in Australia.
This was the moment where they did cross down to a young comic who...
this is so bad.
It wasn't ideal, unfortunately.
He doesn't even have... Oh, he's got a shirt. Good on you, mate. It's been all a game of possession so far. What's your favourite possession?
Possession? Position or possession? Well, I don't know. I like the possession up front. Love the strong.
Well, let me just say I've just been possessed by the spirit of football. I love it.
Whoops.
Look, you know, and you got to feel, anyone who's in the media, and we're all in there, guys, let's be, we've all tanked at some stage.
You've
got to feel for these guys. But, okay, you know, you've heard that. Now let's have a listen to Fev on Neighbours, because I would like to ask the question on 131060, what was worse?
You and Dad are doing a really good job at this co-parenting thing.
Oh, I'm glad you think that. Because on that note, while you're here...
Did you really have to wax everything?
Well, think of how aerodynamic you'll be on the footy field. These footy players.
Oh, gee, it's a big question.
I got a lot of feedback on Twitter from mates, Boxy. One of my good friends, Michelle Newman, wrote, Grouse acting, you're a real natural. Ha, 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 ha.
What's the ha, ha, ha bit?
Means that I was not good. My brother, Jace, who's after some R&B Friday tickets. I'm not sure he's going to get them after this. You stunk.
Okay, thank you, Jason. Thanks for that feedback. He's always good for honest feedback.
Honest feedback. And my family didn't even watch. So,
Fev, look, I think you did great. And it's a shame that we're now comparing you to what is being claimed by the Herald Sun as the worst sports coverage in Australian history. But what was worse? In fact, did anyone watch Fev on Neighbours?
Yeah.
Can we get any love for Fev on Neighbours?
If anyone
last night
saw it, I think it would have been a more negative reaction. But perhaps there wasn't a huge amount of people that even saw how bad it was.
I know. Once I go to London, they're going to lay out the red carpet. It's big over there.
Neighbours is huge in London. Seriously, you've got to get ready. Go over there and get your fan cards ready.
What was worse? This is possibly my favourite phoner in the history of this show. What was worse, the pre-game coverage of Liverpool versus Sydney FC or Fev's cameo on Neighbours?
We know what this is going to be, don't we?
131060.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
The only problem with this phone topic, Fief, is we might have to play the bits of audio again to compare them.
We should. I mean, last night, news.com, Herald Sun, they were running the story that the coverage of the big football game between Liverpool FC and Sydney was the worst. Actually, I've got it here. It says the ABC, the worst football coverage in the history of Australia. Ooh. Now, what a shame that happened on the same night that our Brendan Favola starred, or should I say appeared, on Neighbours. So two big things happened on telly last night, and we are asking the question, which was worse? Are we going to... Please, let's really just play Fev on
Okay,
Neighbours.
Sure. Here's Fev's scene.
You and Dad are doing a really good job at this co-parenting thing.
Oh, I'm glad you think that. Because on that note, while you're here...
Did you really have to wax everything?
Think of how aerodynamic you'll be on the footy field. Footy players.
You don't see the face. He's very visual as a
there
performer.
There was lots of... Not just face.
Did you have to wax everything?
Should we do it again? Because obviously we forgot to mention that was me playing the other role.
Have another crack.
We were both on Neighbours last night.
Because the ABC 2 guys, they'd love to relive last night, I'm sure, and try and improve.
Okay, so you walk out from behind the curtain.
Oh, Brooke, did you have to really wax everything?
Well, think how aerodynamic you'll be on the footy field.
Oh,
footy players.
That's still
it was
terrible.
Someone dropped something in this studio. It stinks.
Georgie from Moorabbin. Hi, Georgie.
Hi.
Georgie, did you see Fev and I on Neighbours last night?
I did, and I thought he did a really good job.
Thank you, Georgie.
I thought he did too.
But I'm a big Fev fan too.
What about Georgie? We're all talking about his verbal acting. What about the physical acting, the waddle out of the day spa?
God, it's been waxed.
It's very good.
I think you did good. You did good.
Thanks, Georgie.
Was the inference that Fief, were you the actual waxer?
I was the beautician. I've waxed him. Crack and sack.
Ooh. Wow. Georgie, out of interest, did you watch the soccer pregame or see any of it on the internet?
No, I was too busy watching Fez.
Oh, there's no comparison then. So in terms of our question, what was worse, she's not going to know.
No, we didn't method act. I didn't actually wax him. That was all proper acting.
1-0 for what's worse?
Yeah, Fev's beating the ABC coverage of the soccer.
Okay, so the soccer's worse so far.
Yep. Andrea in Mill Park. Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
Andrea, two big events on television last night. Seemingly both have been panned. Which one did you think was worse?
Well, I reckon the football was actually disgraceful, but I reckon Fev did actually a pretty good job.
Yeah. Thank you, Andrea.
There we go. This is not working out the way we thought.
Can't wait for a call back.
I like this. Fev, you're getting the support you deserve. Dan,
I reckon
Nary
Dan's
going
to hammer me.
Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Dan, fellow Nazawarian, what did you think?
Oh, mate, I don't watch Neighbours, but I watched it last night. That was a gold laggy performance.
Have you rigged the phone, Dan?
Back and crack done.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
We had our good friend Lisa Wilkinson from the Today Show on our show yesterday or the day before. We had a good chat with Lise, and she is doing the rounds because she is celebrating a milestone, having been on the Today Show for a number of years, and it's great for her to be celebrating. Now, she was interviewed on another show, and she has had to come out and actually deny that she and Carl know what each other's pay packets are. Because you know when the rumour mill starts running and gossip columns are saying, Lisa's furious because she's, you know, Carl makes more money than her, and they try to pit talent against each other.
Right.
I think it happens in footy too, doesn't it, Fev?
The good players get paid the most.
But you know, you should never know what somebody's on.
So Fev was paid heaps, yeah.
But
was that awkward though? Like, say at the Lions, you're on an enormous package. If you're some guy that's been on the list for 5 years and you know you're getting about 1/8 the amount Fev's getting, is that awkward?
No, well, you know where you're at when you're a footy player. You know if you're the big star or you're just a player. But you need everyone in the team, obviously, because a good team put together is a great team. So. And I think the best model was either, we'll talk about footy, it's not talking about what we're talking about now, but like Hawthorn and Geelong all took pay cuts, all their gun players, so everyone was getting paid the same. And I think Al Clarkson at Hawthorn said everyone's no more than 500 grand, no one's getting paid more than that.
Yeah.
So everyone, and they've won, what, 4 flags in the last 6 years. So where other clubs have got players who are at the bottom of the ladder getting paid over $1 million.
See, it's funny. It's interesting you say that, and I think the communists would agree with you on that, because when you take it's that theory that you take away that sense of rivalry, competition. For instance, like, you know, in this studio, we don't necessarily know what each other's pay packets are, and neither should we. Because I think if one of us found out...
Why are you fishing around this area for?
No, I'm just saying that if one of us found out that the other was on more or considerably more or considerably less... It might make it hard.
Well, you're obviously both on more than me. Well, let's just call a spade a spade.
You don't know that.
I know that. I'm sure of that.
You don't know that.
You should be. That. You've got a higher profile.
Well, if you're getting over 1.1 mil, you got more than me.
Oh, we just gave it away. And there's no way you're on that money. This will tear the team apart. If Fev's on 1.1 million, I actually quit now. I'm done.
Quit then.
See ya.
I knew this was dangerous. When I thought we were going to talk about this, I went, "This is, we could all fall apart here." Because this is the thing.
But I did get offered.
$1 million?
No.
Not to do radio.
I did get offered a contract. I got told by a certain club when I was leaving Carlton that I could go to that club, and it was a pretty good side.
Yeah.
But I had to take a $700,000 pay cut to go, and I went, "No, wouldn't have thought so."
Whoa.
Yeah, but only because I was on certain money at the time, so I wasn't going to take a pay cut to go to another club.
No, but I know. And I went
to Brisbane for more.
Actually, a friend who worked in radio, and she was, you know, sometimes you've got computers that you can leave your emails open on. And I know somebody that left their pay packet open. And then when one of her colleagues saw it, she was like, "I actually can't work here anymore. If that person is getting paid that much more than I am, I'm done."
But we still work with you.
13, 10, 60. So we do.
Definitely on, put on record, easily the highest paid member of this team.
Easily. We have no idea what each other's on. I wouldn't have thought so, Eddie. No.
You want to phone a friend?
13, 10, 60.
Byron will be have on you, probably 50.
Has this happened in your workplace 60? Where you found out what a colleague's on and it's actually torn a team or torn a workplace apart?
But how do you feel being on the most?
I'm not on the most.
We've got to come back.
I'm clearly not on the most.
See how this tears teams apart? 13, 10, 60. If it's happened at your job.
You are.
13, 10, 60 is the number. Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron on the Fox.
Fifi, Dave, Fev and Byron.
You started it, Fev.
I did. I wish we'd never brought it up. But you shouldn't discuss your salaries, your income with work colleagues. There's nothing worse than when you find out that someone you're working with is on more than you are.
And I reckon I've worked out on the least.
Yeah,
I'm new. So I reckon I'll be on the easy.
And I think you saying that is you downplaying it. I reckon you're like, no, I'm doing it tough because you think that you're making more than Byron and I.
But Byron's really upset in the studio, everyone listening in their car. And just before the song finished, he just said, "I'm not joking, I earn a lot." I just wanted to get that out there.
So, like, we've all had our fun, but let's face it, I do very well.
Jolene in Dandenong. Hi, Jolene.
Hi, Fifi. How are you?
Yeah, really well, Jolene. Jolene, has this caused trouble in your workplace, finding out what a colleague is making, earning?
Yes, so I used to work at a real estate agency, and basically one day I stumbled across the printer and I saw what everyone was earning in the office.
Do you sell or are you just work in the office?
I'm in sales now in Bayside, Melbourne, but I used to be a property manager. Yeah. Ooh. So everyone.
But you work on commission.
Yeah, now I work on commission. Before I was on property management on a salary.
Geez, you landed on your tippy toes in Bayside. Cha-ching.
Geez, tough. But the old printer, that's like emails, anything to do with pay salary should never be put on paper.
But what was the issue, Jolene? I mean, you'd imagine, okay, the salespeople who were doing well would be earning a lot and then perhaps the support staff would be earning less. I mean, what was so bad about the report? Why did it cause such a problem?
Well, at the time, I was on a salary and there are people in the office on the same position as me, working the same hours, doing the same things. Now, I had an assistant at the time and I was looking after her, managing her. You know, she was always pulling sickies and I find that she's actually earns more than me.
Wow. That's
See, that's what happens. And then it becomes bitter resentment. Thanks, Jolene. Daniel in Craigieburn. Hi, Daniel.
Oh, hi, how are you going?
Yeah, good, Dan. Have you had salaries become known and ruin a workplace?
I sure have. The boss's son is a complete numbnut. he's got no qualifications whatsoever.
Okay.
He's on almost double what all the qualified chippies are on.
Whoa.
And he does bugger all day, every day.
Oh, don't blame the player, babe.
Damn.
Oh, mate, sorry. Babe, just,
wow.
Don't blame the player, just play the game.
It's
dude.
Amazing. Like, think about that for a minute, Daniel. Isn't it extraordinary to think that there are people at a workplace with lots of experience and lots of skills, and then someone comes in with no experience and makes more money than one of the people on the show. Yeah. It's actually a joke, isn't it?
Sorry for calling you babe, Daniel. I'm just a bit rattled about what Byron and Fifi are earning. So I'm off to our boss, Azadia, in office now. I've got some issues. So I might
Daniel,
not be here tomorrow.
Did you ever imagine that Brendan Favola would call you babe?
Yeah, I actually would.
Okay. That's something he was hoping for.
I'm off to Adrian's office.
Tash in Cranbourne. Hi, Tash.
Hi, Fifi.
Tash. What happened in your office, your workplace?
Well, it wasn't actually in my office. I'm just wanting to share a Fev bargain that I come across at Target down at Somerville.
What? Yeah.
Fev put out a children's book a few years back.
10 years
and they
ago.
Were selling them for 1 cent.
10 years ago?
Well,
1 cent.
1 cent.
I found it down and I got it for free.
Oh, wow.
I'm tipping it wasn't 1 cent because there is no 1 cent.
But you know what, Fev? Selling off it.
Bullsh!
Fev, you could sell more of those books and just bump up your pay packet.
Mate, they were sold out, so I'm not quite sure. Someone must have traded it back in for some coin. Where is she, Cranbourne? Yeah.
When you go and talk to the boss, don't say that you've got like a literary career to fall back on because your books...
I'm an author of 3 books, mate. Hey, and you know what, Byron? They were all bestsellers.
There you go, Byron. Suffer in your jocks.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
It's workplace bullying now.
That Phoebe, Dave, Fev and Byron catch-up was free from import duty and GST. And so is the range of imported goods like perfume and alcohol available when you shop duty-free at Melbourne Airport.